On January 4, 1875, at the dedication of Battle Creek College, Ellen White related a vision she had received the day before. Stephen Haskell, sitting beside the platform, realized that Ellen's information was the same as some reports he had recently given to James about conversions in other countries.
I was shown that progress has been made in the Scandinavian countries because of literature and tracts sent from America.
Brother White, you've told Sister White what I told you.
I assure you.
No, Brother Haskell.
There is strong interest in those northern countries and in other countries in more remote parts of the world.
May I interrupt a moment?
Yes, of course.
Are you relating what someone has told you or what you've seen?
Why, I'm relating what I've seen. I've also seen that there are unthought-of fields where the work is to be preached and papers are to be printed.
Can you name any of the countries?
No, I can't. They weren't named to me. Oh, yes, I remember one. The angel said, Australia.
Australian Alexander Dixon had learned of the Sabbath truth in 1861 from Hannah Moore, a fellow missionary in Africa. Returning to his homeland, Dixon asked the General Conference to print literature for his people. When his request was denied because of commitments to the new work in California and Europe, Dixon paid for some printing himself. Eventually, broke and discouraged, he gave up the Sabbath. Finally, at the General Conference autumn session in 1884, 10 years after Ellen's vision, the church took action.
That Elder Haskell go to Australia next May, taking with him a competent corps of laborers to establish a mission. That Elder J.O. Corliss and Brother W. Arnold prepare to go with Brother Haskell.
It's decided, Brother Corliss. M.C. Israel and his family will go with us, and so will Henry Scott.
I'm glad of that, Brother Haskell. My wife and children will be happy to have another family along. Brother Israel's an experienced missionary, Brother Arnold's a self-supporting tull porter, and Brother Scott's a skilled printer. It's a good group that's going.
And none too soon. We're already 10 years behind. I almost wish I didn't have to hurry back for the General Conference next November. But I wouldn't want to be away from Mary that long. Anyway, and she's not well enough to travel with me. It's a long way from Massachusetts to Australia.
Are you well enough, Brother Haskell? You look exhausted.
I am, but there's so much work to be done. I can't slow down. I can rest on the voyage.
Shortly before the trip, Stephen Haskell's weakness forced him from the pulpit while giving the Sabbath sermon. A few days' care at the Battle Creek Sanitarium had him back on his feet, however, and he sailed with the group from San Francisco on May 10, 1885. They reached Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, on Sabbath morning, June 6th.
It's cold. I wish we'd planned to arrive in Australia during the summer. Imagine, winter in June and summer at Christmas time.
How are your children taking it, Sister Corliss?
In stride, as usual, Brother Haskell. All they really care about is seeing a kangaroo or hearing a kookaburra.
Australia's an exciting new country, all right, but the work may be difficult. The colonies here aren't confederated like the provinces of Canada. Each one's like an independent country.
Well, yes, I read the laws, and even the customs and manners of the people vary from colony to colony.
That's one reason Brother Israel and I will stay here for a few days to evaluate the prospects in New South Wales, while the rest of you travel to Melbourne and Victoria. We especially want to have a look at the Sydney Library. I hear it's a very good one.
Well, gentlemen, are you finding what you're looking for in our library?
Well, yes, we are. As we told you when we arrived, we're in Australia to represent our church. We're delighted to find 13 of our books listed in your card catalog.
And we're very encouraged.
I wouldn't be too excited if I were you, mates. 10 years ago, it was different. There were a lot of immigrants from England, and they rather fancied themselves to be like your pilgrims. They thought anything American was fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum?
Sound and true, like. Now, though, everyone's pretty much decided what they think, and they're proud of being Aussies. They ain't about to let a bunch of Yankees change their minds. Good day, gentlemen.
Back in San Francisco, Brother E.H. Stockton had given Pastor Israel the name of a Melbourne man, J.H. Stockton, no relation, who had received the signs of the times for a while. Shortly after arriving, the Israel family began to visit J.H. Stockton, who was coach builder to the governor of the colony of Victoria. One visit was especially memorable. Stockton and his son were in the workshop.
This is an expensive panel of timber, Harry, so we have to be very careful with it.
Are you going to burn it, Papa?
No, son. I'm going to shape it careful-like over this slow fire. When I'm done, it'll be a fine dashboard for the carriage I'm building.
You want it, dear?
Who is it?
Those Yankees.
Hush! Bother the Yankees.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go see him.
And so, you see, God commanded us to worship him on the last day of the week, not the first.
The Bible texts you showed us certainly do point to the seventh day as the Sabbath, Pastor Israel.
You've given us a lot to think about, Pastor.
What's that smell? Like wood burning.
The dashboard!
The carriage dashboard was ruined, but the Stocktons had gained something much more valuable. On July 4th, 1885, the Yankees organized a Sabbath school in a rented house in the suburb of Richmond. As the service came to a close, there was a knock on the door. Pastor Israel answered.
Come in, Mr. Stockton. What can we do for you?
Pastor Israel, I'm convinced that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and so are my brother and cousin. We've decided to obey God's commandment.
That's wonderful news.
My wife and sister-in-law are meeting right now to decide if they're going to join the church with us. If they do, we'll all come to the afternoon meeting.
Praise the Lord!
J.H. Stockton would become the first baptized Adventist in Australia, but the conversion of his family was the only ray of light in those early weeks. Halls were too expensive to rent, and the cold, wet weather made open-air meetings impossible. The workers gave Bible readings in some homes, but many doors were closed to them because ministers of other churches accused the Americans of being money-making schemers. One July day, Pastors Corliss and Israel were walking up and down the streets, offering papers to passers-by.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to give you this tract. It contains an important message about...
You're one of them daft Yankees, you are. I've heard about you. I don't want none of your trash.
It's discouraging, isn't it, Brother Israel? Brother Arnold hasn't sold a single book in 6 weeks. And now we can't even give our literature away.
Oh, discouraging is right, Brother Corliss. Even when someone does take a tract, they just glance at it and drop it in the gutter.
Maybe we'll have more success with our tent meetings this summer. I'm glad we decided to order a tent made.
So am I. Oh, it's getting dark. I'm ready to call it a day. Oh, what are you doing with that Sabbath tract?
I'm spearing it on a spike of this iron fence. There. Maybe someone will be curious enough to read that one.
It's a cold rain, Mr. Woods.
Aye, Mr. Miller, that it is.
Still, I'm right glad to close up the print shop tonight. It's been a long day.
Long, but not unpleasant. Our business is prospering. I can't say Australia's not been good to me.
Good-o. A flourishing business to provide a livelihood, and a sweet young lady who's promised to marry you. What more could a dour Scotsman ask?
I'm not so dour, and you ken it well, partner. I'm off. Good night.
Good night. Now, what's that paper stuck up on that fence spike? Some kind of religious leaflet. Which day do you keep and why? The fourth commandment. Seventh day. Saturday? This is a good subject for next month's debate at the Mutual Improvement Society. I'll take the position of this tract that Saturday's the Sabbath. Wait till I tell Mr. Woods.
Together, these two men, W.H.B. Miller and J.H. Woods, tracked down the source of the Sabbath leaflet and invited Pastor Corliss to attend their debate. At the end of the evening, Corliss spoke to the group about prophecy. He was invited back the next week, and after his talk, a woman rose to her feet.
Yes, Mrs. Romero, you wish to respond to Pastor Corliss?
I do, Brother Miller. For years I've been troubled because my church keeps Sunday rather than the seventh day as the Bible commands. Pastor Corliss, I endorse all you say. I'll keep the very next Sabbath.
Mrs. Romero was the first woman to join the church in Australia. 17 people joined the church, including, after some reluctance, Mr. Woods' fiancée. Miller and Woods eventually became ordained ministers who gave years of faithful service. And all because of that one tract stuck up on the spike of an iron fence.